Hello, Cancer friends. My name is Kathy Hannes. Welcome. I'm so happy that you are listening today. How's everybody doing? I hope you're all doing great. If you are listening for the first time, Hello, Cancer friends is a place for all of us to come. If you've been touched by cancer and you're just looking to hear about other people's experiences or you'd like to share one of your own, I, of course, welcome you with open arms to contact me. You can go to my website. It's HelloCancerFriends.com. So it's Tuesday as I'm recording this. It's after a long 3-day Memorial Day weekend. I'm thinking of all of those men and women who have lost their lives fighting for our country. And I also am thinking of the past, the present, and the future brave men and women that choose to honor our country by serving. Bless each and every one of your hearts, and I thank you. So yeah, it wouldn't be Hello Cancer friends if I didn't talk about the weather. Right now, it's looking kind of cloudy where I'm at. Maybe some thunderstorms today. You know, it's a long-standing joke that I made about myself. I've always called myself a storm chaser trapped in a realtor's body because I just love storms. But when it comes down to it, I am hiding in the basement. And just in the last week, my 7-year-old daughter has started watching tornado videos on TV. I'm like, oh my gosh, the cycle, it's not broken. She is really taking up an interest in thunderstorms as well. And hopefully she doesn't freak out like I do. Oh my God. Well, maybe that's why she likes them, because I'm always freaking out. Although I have toned it down a lot in recent years. So yeah, maybe a few thunderstorms, but overall everything's green, everything's beautiful, flowers are blooming, birds are chirping. That brings on the allergies too. That's okay. We keep the windows closed here. We had a couple weeks maybe of fresh air, but now all three of us have allergies. I kind of seem to have picked up on them ever since I started the immunotherapy, but that's not a bad trade. I'll take the allergies for life. No problem. So in other exciting news, I know you guys have all been like just so excited and waiting for this episode. If you're listening in order, last week I was just about to start my liquid diet in preparation for my colonoscopy. Yes, indeed, I did start my liquid diet shortly after I finished recording last week's episode. I did not go get a donut. I wanted to. I had it on my mind, but I was in a rush. I can't remember what I ate. But anyways, it all went fine. So go get your colonoscopy. The whole process was, you know, it wasn't that bad. So I get to the procedure last Wednesday, and that's even easier than the prep part. And my colonoscopy turned out perfect. I had not one polyp. It's actually a little confusing, so why is my hemoglobin going down? But, you know, I'm still happy. I got it checked out, and it's fine. Now, I also had the upper endoscopy or endoscopy, the EGD, or is it EKG? I think that's the heart. I am so incredibly obnoxious when it comes to trying to remember all the terms and medical things, but you know what I mean. They shoved the camera down my throat and whoopsie daisy, they found something. You know, actually, I'm waiting for the doctor to call me to confirm and explain everything. They saw something and took a biopsy, and it doesn't, I'm not listening to my own advice. I did do the Googles, and I think it's okay. It sounds like it's Barrett's esophagus. I also have a hiatal hernia. I've been having digestive issues for a long time, so this isn't really surprising. I need to talk to the doctor. I need to figure out what this is. I think that there are some options for treatment, and I just need to talk to the doctor and see what they recommend. Lo and behold, yeah, there is something going on. I don't think it's too serious, but at the same time, it's like, what could be more serious than stage 3 inoperable pancreatic cancer? I'm kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll take it one step at a time. Overall, go get checked out. If you have any symptoms that just don't seem right, get it checked out, because it's really not a big deal to go through the process. And that is what they are for. You go through them. If there's a problem, the doctors try to fix them. Knowing early can really make a difference. You know, I'm glad I did it. This is a change from 3 years ago when I had this done. There was nothing. Now there's something. And now they can hopefully just tell me what to do about it. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. You know, that hiatal hernia? I mean, this is all making sense because reading about that, it sounds like it's common for a lot of pregnant women to have a hiatal hernia with the baby pressing on your stomach and somehow somewhere around your esophagus and your stomach, it kind of pops through or something. But from all the pressure from a baby or maybe a 22 centimeter pancreatic tumor. So yeah, cancer, the gift that keeps giving. At least the story makes sense. For once, I'm getting some answers. So I'll keep you posted on that. Maybe not. It's really not that exciting. But bottom line, go get your colonoscopy, listen to your body, and get things checked out. This weekend, over the weekend, I met a new friend. Her husband's been recently diagnosed with cancer. It really took me back to when I was first diagnosed, brought back a lot of memories and just how scary it really is when you first hear those words, you have cancer. And so I thought for today, it might be a good idea just to kind of go back into the vault 2.5 years ago and share with you all some of the things that really helped me when I was first diagnosed. I mean, looking back, that was probably the worst part. All of the unknowns, all of the appointments and the tests and just not knowing what was going to happen. It's really hard. It's hard for the patient. It's hard for the loved ones. It's not fun. I wanted to go back and just share some of these things. I covered a lot of these things when I shared my story with my sister, Melanie, way back in episode 2. She was my first interview. It was hilarious because we got about 5 minutes in and I realized I forgot to hit record. She was not really happy because we were going on a roll. We were like just cruising along. We talk like sisters, haha. No, but everything was going good and we had to start over. And then, you know, there was just a little awkwardness, you know, if you will. And she ended up saying, you know, well, you just have to edit it. And I'm like, I don't know how to edit. I just started this. With her encouragement, I did learn how to edit that episode. So my sister, Melanie, she was a huge part of my diagnosis and getting through those first several weeks. She's one of many, many people that helped me through. After my prognosis of a few months, not years to live, I gave her the title of my end-of-life coach. You know, people have life coaches. She was my end-of-life coach. She did an awesome job. She really helped me through. My end-of-life coach is what the episode is called. We really went through our experience in detail. But I thought I'd bring it up again and just kind of go over some of the things that I did. I look back. What helped me most when I was first diagnosed? Here are the things. Okay. Well, first of all, I would suggest, you know, it's going to sound cliche, but just take a deep breath. Take things one day at a time. It's overwhelming. So, and it's really hard to kind of put on the brakes. Remember the old cars? You got to pump the brakes. You got to kind of pump the brake and just kind of try really hard. Know that you're going to get through it. You're going to get through this initial diagnosis, treatment planning, all of that stuff. You're going to get through it. It's going to feel like years. you're going to be like, why am I not getting treatment yesterday? Get rid of this cancer. But it just doesn't work that way. I really feel like the doctors, they take their time. They need certain tests. They need all of these things put together to find the best treatment for us. You know, it takes time. Just know that you will get there. For me, just trying to take a deep breath, go one day at a time, that really, it helped. And knowing, going into it, it's going to feel like years, but it's not going to take years. The next thing you know, you'll have your plan in place. Looking back, I wish I wouldn't have assumed the worst. I just, you know, I took what they said and I went with it. I thought, well, this is it, you know, and it was wrong. If you're newly diagnosed, or your family member or best friend or just a friend, whoever, someone you know that you care and love just got diagnosed, don't assume the worst. You're not going to know what's going to happen until it happens. The other thing, and this is very ironic because I just brought up Dr. Google's in this episode. I rely on Dr. Google's all the time. I'm a total Googler. However, when I was diagnosed, I did not Google for months, maybe 2-3 months, which in normal people time is like years because I'm a Googler. I wasn't ready. I didn't want to know. I think it was I didn't want to know. So I stayed away from it. And it's probably a good idea because it fills your head with all sorts of things that you think are going to happen. You have to understand every case is different. Even if somebody has the same cancer, is it in the same place? Is it, you know, is it the same size? Is it, has it spread? Has it not spread? Everything is different. All of these statistics out there, it's based on huge numbers. Well, your number is a different number. So try to stay off the Googles. This next thing saved me immensely, and that was my end-of-life coach, Sister Melanie. I can't tell you what a relief it was for me to have her with me for all of my appointments. She helped to arrange everything for me. She took notes. She did it all. What I did, I chose to turn over all information to her. I called the doctor, the hospital, everybody, and said, it's okay to talk to her. Even my health insurance, everybody, please, yes, talk to her about my issues. She took care of arrangements for second opinions and all the loopholes that you have to go through to try and get insurance to cover those things out of network, blah, blah, blah. And just sitting in on these appointments, it's information overload. At the time I was diagnosed, I was so sick, I couldn't comprehend anything. I remember sitting at the genetic counselor's office. I was really out of it. I was not well. So I was so thankful to have her. It's really helpful. And if you are the one coordinating, have a backup because you're going to need your time too. It's overwhelming for you too. Make sure to have support. I'm not one to accept help. I never was. But now I know how important it is. You can't do it by yourself. Patients and helpers alike, we all need support. And just touching base a little bit about second opinions. So I went to, I had two other amazing second opinions. Unfortunately, they both told me the same thing that my original oncologist told me. I was hoping there was some miracle doctor out there that could say, don't worry, we can do surgery. But that was not meant to be. But I'll tell you what it did do for me. It gave me the confidence in my doctor that they were right. It was inoperable. No matter who we talked to, that was it. It is what it is. So you may not get the answers you're looking for, but a second opinion can really make you feel confident that you're doing the right thing, you're making the right choices based on the information you have. So I highly recommend that if you can do it. Another thing, you know, see if your type of cancer has resources. Like pancreatic cancer, they have a huge organization that helps people with referrals and finding those second opinions and just all sorts of information. Check out your local and national resources. Get online and see what's out there. It's really important to take the help that's out there. And there are a lot of resources. Another thing, you know, I think it's really important to feel good about your doctor. You want to, you know, trust and have a good relationship with your doctor. I won't lie, I did not have a good relationship with my doctor. I know now that the reason for that was because she did not tell me what I wanted to hear. She had to give me really, really bad news. And over the time, the months that we've been working together, that she's been working to save my life, she's been right all along. She's a big part of my life. I'm glad I didn't give up on her. She knew what she was doing all along. She may not have given me the news that I wanted, but that's not her fault. But long story short, just make sure you feel comfortable. One of the main things she did right off the bat was send in my tumor for genetic testing. And I would not be here if she had not done that. You know, I didn't really need somebody to hold my hand. I needed somebody to fix me, and she did. But this isn't a time to stress out about a doctor you can't stand. So just, you got to do everything you can to feel good about what you're dealing with the best you can. Another thing, looking back, I was pretty sick at the time when I was diagnosed. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot I could do, but looking back, self-love and taking care of myself, that is something I suggest to everyone. And what I mean by that is just, if you can just clear your mind and your space of any clutter or anything that doesn't make you feel well, just get rid of it. You got to take care of yourself. Peace of mind during crisis, I think, is really critical to healing. And I'm not a doctor. This is my opinion. This is what helped me. If I wanted to eat something, I'd eat it. I wasn't worried about this, that, or the other. I just took all the pressure I could off of myself. Things I normally would stress about. Oh, the kitchen's a mess. Well, so what? It's going to wait. Self-love and just doing whatever you have to do to keep positive and calm. And that includes doing what you enjoy. Again, I was really sick. I could barely walk at times. So, you know, when I wanted to go to Target, I go to Target and I get on a scooter. I rode a scooter in Target because I couldn't walk. I didn't want to, you know, rob Willow of our little shopping trips that we always had. And, you know, so we had fun. She got on and I think I remember running into a few shelves and, you know, nobody got hurt. And, you know, but we did it. You know, we try not to hold back. Do what makes you feel good. Do what you enjoy. And stay busy, too. You know, there's a lot of times while we're waiting for results, waiting for the doctor to get back to us with our plan, waiting for an upcoming appointment, it is the worst part. I'm not going to lie. It is not cool. But all of these things take time. So keep busy. If that means, you know, reading a book, watching a movie, sleeping. Sleep the day away. Get some rest. Do what you enjoy. Keep your mind occupied. Talk to friends and family. Lean on your friends and family. They love you. They are there for you. Something that I did that I'm thankful for, but it's kind of biting me a little bit now. But I prepared myself for the news that when I eventually got it, that I had months, not years to live. I prepared myself for it and I accepted it. Now I'm trying to do a reversal and it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. But I still think you can't go wrong. Once you accept the situation, it may help you to get through it a little better. So basically, just prepare yourself to accept the bad news and prepare yourself to rejoice in the good news. It's never all bad news. Every win, no matter how big or small, is a win. And you're going to have those. You're going to have those wins. Starting with every day that you wake up. Like I said, it's hard. You're in the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. You just got diagnosed. It's crazy. You're swinging on the vines. You don't know where you're going to land. You got your hands and your arms pushing through the brush. It's a jungle. You don't know what's happening, what the next step will bring. You have no idea. But soon enough, you will find that clearing. You will end up in the pasture of flowers. You will have your plan in place. And your only focus from there is healing and positivity. Try and smell the flowers along the way. You may or may not have a long way to go with your treatment, but you have that plan. And just know, while you're in the jungle, you're going to get to that pasture. It's still going to be a long walk, but you're going to get there, and it's going to be better. So to all my friends, all my caretakers out there, newly diagnosed, it is a jungle. It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. It's not easy. But you're going to get through it, and you're going to be in the sunshine soon and on the way to treatment and some peace of mind. You can do it. You have to, right? What other choice do you have? Kind of what I thought. If you ever want to reach out, I'd love to talk to you. So go to my website. It's HelloCancerFriends.com. If you want to share your story, if you want to just reach out and say hello, I'd love to hear from you. I really hope that some of these tips help. I really think that being newly diagnosed is the worst part. Once you get through it and you have a plan and a better understanding of what's happening, I think you're really going to feel a whole lot better. I know I did. Even though my situation was, you've got months to live, I still felt better. At least I knew. I really think not knowing is the worst. So I'm thinking of you and wishing you all the best to get through that really tough time of a new diagnosis. And that wraps up another episode of Hello Cancer Friends. It's really something else to think back to that time. It's chilling. It's just like, I talk about it and I explain it, but the feeling inside of me, I just don't know how to get that out in words because it's really something else. It's like nothing I've ever been through. I really feel for everyone going through that. But also wanting to offer hope. You know, you're going to feel better once you know what's going on. Just face it, get through that jungle, into the clearing. Do the best you can. Well, I hope you all have a really, really awesome week. The flowers are in full bloom, so take time to smell some flowers. I think it's the best time of year. The time before the bugs start coming out. Where I'm at anyways. Have a really great week. I'll look forward to talking to you next time. Take good care. Bye-bye.